Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The last day of Bunny Folger is over. But our post-show recap of Season 2, Episode 3 of Only Murders in the Building is just starting. So come on in. We will hold the elevator door open for you and hope it doesn't trap us. But you are trapped in this podcast as long as you don't swipe away. I'm your host, DJ LaBelle Klein, a.k.a. Troy. And unlike Bunny Folger, in her waning moments of life, I am not alone. For with me, I have a very special guest. Our co-host Josh Wigler is out, conveniently, suspiciously, out of town for a few weeks. And so I brought in one of the smartest, most clever, most Selena Gomez-adjacent people I know. You may know them from talking Final Fantasy, from ferreting out the mole in the Mole Patrol, or from being my co-host on the We Worked podcast. Please welcome to the podcast a New York classic. Brooklyn Zed, welcome to the podcast.
It's me, Steve Martin Short Gomez.
Hey,
here
okay.
I am.
Do you consider yourself Selena Gomez adjacent in any way, shape, or form?
No, not at all.
I didn't think so. I knew that would be a stretch. But I think amidst the trifecta of me and Josh and you, you would probably be the Short Gomez.
The grounding presence in the trio. Yeah, I think so.
Very, very much so. Well, welcome to the podcast. I'm delighted to have you here. I referred to you, I don't know if I did on the podcast, but when I was talking to Josh, as my podcast security blanket. You're a friend. You're a reliable voice. You have some fascinating ideas always to bring to bear. And I want to hear about your takes on Only Murders in the Building. So first, I guess I'm just going to start out with like the big bad softball question of what do you think about the series so far? What are you thinking about series two? How you feeling?
I mean, I'm having a good time. It's funny that Josh is not here for this week because I feel like on a number of shows he talks about, he has been talking about like the potential demise of the Vibes episode as seasons have gotten shorter. And I feel like this episode in particular was very much a Vibes episode. Let's not advance the plot. We can worry about that another time. We're just going to like hang out with this old New Yorker all day and have a nice time.
We got a few really special episodes last season, most notably the one that didn't have any dialogue in it. And so it really does, I think, hit at the idea that they're going to take some bold choices in the direction of the show. And I think this episode was a great one of saying, we have this incredible actor. We have this great character. It's such a shame that she's dead. Let's undead her for a day and really explore the Arconia through her eyes. And needless to say, I'm excited to view it through your eyes as well.
Yeah, well, we've got Broadway actor, like Tony-nominated, perhaps Tony Award-winning, I should double-check, actor Jane Houdyshell in this role. And it would be a shame to not have her present throughout the season. And I feel like we saw a decent amount of Tim Kono last year. So they'll find ways to keep... Bunny's presence certainly is not going anywhere in this building, even though her physical embodiment may have left in a body bag.
Over her hot, warm body, will her presence go away? That was certainly a moment, talking about the heat in New York. One of the reasons that I am excited to have you here this week is because, as we were talking before the podcast, you are a New Yorker yourself. It's right in your name, Brooklyn Zed.
That's right.
We kicked off the episode with I think a bit of a radio rant, that, or at least the Bunny portion of it. She's listening to the radio, and New York is not the same. You can't get a good bagel. Someone's working out at the Park Slope Brooklyn YMCA.
I think they were bitching about the mayor.
I'm pretty sure they were.
He's not the mayor anymore, and the guy who replaced him also sucks in different ways. But I'm pretty sure they were complaining about Bill de Blasio, who did work out at the Park Slope YMCA.
Are we going to end up talking about politics on every podcast that we get on together?
Inevitably, 100%.
Indubitably. Well, needless to say, we're going to have a lot to say about this. If you have thoughts or ideas or questions about post-show recaps coverage of Only Murders in the Building, you can always hit me up. I'm at DJ LaBelle Klein on Twitter. If you have thoughts or opinions about anything said here, you can also hit up Zed. Why not? At Hard Rock Hope on all platforms available to you. And we're certainly going to talk through some theories and some new information that came to bear. So let us know. Let us know what your thoughts are about that. I think, Zed, maybe we should start with the basic question. March 12th, the day that Bunny died.
The day after Josh Wiggler's birthday.
The day after. Well, actually, let's start there. Okay. Josh is not here. Mm-hmm. It was the day after his birthday. Should we just start out the bat? Josh Wiggler, suspect?
Yeah. A birthday present to himself.
A birthday present to himself.
Getting rid of the
cameo appearance in season two of Only Murders in the Building. What do you think? I mean, to podcast about your own crime would certainly be a pull.
Well, is that what's happening on the show? Isn't that kind of the big question?
It is a big question. We did say in the opening episode of this podcast that no one would be beyond suspicion, that we would turn over every rock and look behind every door. Obviously, through the lens of this Hulu show, we thought that Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez, their characters would be in the possible suspect list. I never in a million years considered that my own co-host, Josh Wiggler, would be in the suspect list, but we're talking about it, and he's not here to refute that.
Correct.
I don't
the
know.
The best kind of prosecution is one where the witness is not there to provide their own defense.
Absolutely. Look, we know he was able to pull up maps of the Belnard, of the Arconia. He knows about the history of it. I know we're going down a deep end here early in the podcast, Zed, but I want to put this out there. This is what people can expect from post-show recaps, from the coverage of Only Murders in the Building. Nothing is off the table.
That's right. He says he lives in Brooklyn, but I have never been to his apartment. So for all I know,
he could live in the Arconia. He could live in 14S, in 14 Savage. We don't know. So, we'll figure it out. We'll see. Ultimately, all things will come to bear over the course of the season. But even before this episode, we had two more episodes that we really got into it all. And I'm curious, before we really jump even further into the Bunny Folger day, any initial thoughts from the early parts of the season? Anything that you wanted to talk about, Zed?
Well, I wonder, my big pressing question is, do you think the bird was really left in the will to Oliver Putnam? Or is that just Uma being terrible?
I mean, that could be Uma being Uma. We had an amazing scene this episode of Uma and Bunny, and really got a sense of their dynamic. Yeah. In some ways, it's really relationship goals to end a conversation with a double FU and nothing mm-hmm. more. But sure, I could see it. I could see Uma just sticking it to Oliver. How would you feel if you received a bird in a will? Would you take it willingly?
I would take it. But if it was a bird like that, that just kept yelling, well, actually, if it just kept yelling swear words, honestly, that'd be kind of funny. But it feels vindictive rather than done in goodwill. No pun intended in this case.
It also does bring up the really interesting question of, is there actually a will for Bunny? If so, who got the painting in the
will? Yeah, the painting would have to be in the will, right? The painting's got to be way more valuable, no offense, than the bird.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, a bird has precious memories and could really be... No, you're right. The painting's obviously worth actual real money and it's a bird. No offense to all the lovely bird listeners that are among our... bird owners that are among our many, many listeners. Okay, so interesting. So you think there's a possibility that the bird is just stuck on Oliver because Uma is messy and petty, and that seems like an Uma thing to do. I like this.
Yeah. I never assumed that she was telling the truth when she said that that Bunny left him the bird in her will.
Yeah, because why would she do that, right? Mrs. Gambolini... I mean, it would be an ultimate stick it to Oliver for Bunny to do. Mrs. Gambolini's a lot. And we actually did, I guess, really start with Mrs. Gambolini and her as the podcast guest on the Only Murders in the Building podcast in the show. Oliver is no longer recording with his iPhone. He's actually now got some actual podcast recording equipment. And he's trying to get a, would you call it an eyewitness testimony from the bird?
Yeah, I think so. Like eagle-eyed, it's not an eagle, but you know.
Yeah, parakeet witness testimony, and resulted in my view, one of the best moments of the episode, dueling bunny impressions from mm-hmm. Martin Short and Steve Gomez. You have to do it more like Bunny said. You gotta, what are you doing? I can only do Roz from Monsters, Inc. That's as close to Bunny as I'm going to get here.
Yeah, I mean, I know this old lady. This is my drama teacher from middle school. This is my grandma a little bit who lived in the Bronx till she was 75. I know this woman. It helps that I'm a little sick right now and I sound like I've smoked cigarettes my entire life.
So this is an archetype that you're familiar with.
Oh, I know this woman very well.
So what do you think? I mean, take me through. We've got the entire last day of Bunny, March 12th, as seen through and stitched together through the pieces of paper that they stole from her desk. Do you think that this is a pretty typical New York day for someone in that world?
Yeah, it's certainly how I imagine old people on the Upper West Side spend their time, sitting, eating in diners, a luxury, which is not cheap, by the way.
Well, especially if you're going to tip with an entire envelope full of cash.
Yeah, that's suspicious, right? It feels like here, have all my money. It feels very like this is the end for me.
Oh, interesting. See, this is why I like having you here. You caused me to think more deeply about things that I did not clue in on. I felt like it was Bunny being a lonely person, that she has a hard exterior but a soft inside, like all good candies and New Yorkers. This was an opportunity to see that she actually does care about people, but maybe... Mm-hmm. Maybe she does know something and she's trying to get rid of some money.
Yeah. A little bit of a you can't take it with you vibe, or is that money ill-gotten? What's going on with the recreation of the painting? Where's the original painting?
We don't know. We still don't know. We spent very little time in the actual real world here. We spent most of the time in flashback through Bunny's perspective, a little bit of Oliver and Mabel and Charles Hayden, I'll say his full name, creating the podcast about it and reflecting on that day. Turns out they had a much bigger role in the day than we had previously known.
Yeah, but they gave her the sweatshirt.
They gave her the sweatshirt. We clocked this early on as one of those unanswered questions. It was not a particularly fulfilling answer. I don't know that it illuminated more about the crime, but it certainly explains the question of how did Bunny get the sweatshirt?
Yeah. Although, did they really have this present for Bunny, or was it she brought them champagne and they were like, yeah, we got you something too.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Well, we're going to talk about that whole scene because I have so many thoughts about that whole moment and the kind of 5 minutes that transpired around it in the show. I think for me, maybe it would help to just start from the top and say, is there anyone that this podcast, that this episode ruled out for you? That immediately their kind of stock watch of being a possible suspect in the show, in the murder of Bunny, has declined.
I mean, I don't see it for Alice. Maybe that's just because I like Alice so much that I don't want it to be her. But it does. I think you guys were talking last week about it probably being someone who lives in the building. And Alice does not live in the building. That we know of. Oh, that'd be so creepy.
Wouldn't
if
it,
she
though?
Lived in the building and was like, come meet me at this art gallery.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I
slide
live in the
into
building.
Her DMs, right? She could own, right? I mean, think about it this way. This is someone who owns a studio in New York at her age. Right. I mean,
that generational wealth.
There could be some generational wealth, the same generational wealth that could buy you an apartment at the Arconia. Now, we know from the board meeting in the middle of this episode that filling up those spots is a project unto themselves. So it's not like she just moved in. But I don't know. It's a theory. It's a theory. And we're here. All theories. Only theories in the podcast. But sure. Okay. So we didn't see more of Alice. I think that does lower her threat potential a little bit. But you like Alice. You're a fan. You're shipping the
fan.
Alice and Mabel, the owl.
I thought for sure I was going to be queer baited in episode two. I was like, oh, this is so gay. There's no way that this is actually going to get to be gay. And then it was.
And then it was gay. Yes. Well, then as with all good queer stories, we got a little taste of it and then nothing more. No more. It'll come back. But we did get this nice little capsule episode to see things from Bunny's perspective. So it doesn't change much about Alice. I'll tell you who I think it changes a lot about. I think our three podcasters, Oliver, Charles Hayden, and Mabel, whatever little sense that they could possibly have done the murder, to me, is eviscerated by how they've presented the show at the end of this episode.
Certainly what they showed us this week says no way. The timing does not check out at all for it to be possible for it to be any of them when they were all together. Unless they're really going straight forward, it was Mabel and she's lying to their faces. But there's the motive doesn't check out for me at all.
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, other than introducing us to Bunny as a character and getting to know her better, if anything, what this episode is trying to do is to put suspicion on Nina Lynn, on the new board president, or would be board president, but is now board president. Nina Lynn certainly has a lot of motive here. We get first introduced to her in a little courtyard scene between Bunny and Nina. And I think it's quite clear that this started out in some ways amicable and a good relationship. And by the time Bunny got to the board meeting later in the day, things had gone another direction. Yeah. What's your feeling on Nina? Do you think that Nina did it? Do you think she's more likely to have done it based on what we saw in this episode?
I think we're certainly being led to believe that some suspicion should be placed on her. I think we've seen more motive displayed for Nina than for anybody else so far. I mean, it seems like a lot of people could potentially not have had the best relationship with Bunny. She's a gruff lady. She could rub people in the building the wrong way, but also she is an institution of the building who has conceivably kept things running for the last 29 years, I think it was.
Yeah, and I think that's made clear that she knows where all the bodies are buried, for lack of a better word. She knows even how to make things work, what's needed. She's pointing out to Nina about Mark. He's a compulsive liar. Sonia has a boyfriend or a husband, and don't ask about
she
it.
She wants you to ask. Don't.
Don't. Yeah. She knows all the little pieces that keep this building together.
The strings to pull, the palms to grease, the doors not to open.
And that's valuable, right? That's valuable information. These are like the people who keep things running. They preserve our history. They preserve our routine. Sure, you could be the person who wants to bring the Arconia into the 21st century to make it more modernized and more monetized. I noticed that one. I don't know what that means.
Nothing good.
Nothing good. Noted fan of capitalism, Brooklyn Zed, says monetizing the Arconia, nothing good.
Inevitably, what that means in any building is renovating the apartment and jacking up the rent, or jacking up the asking cost, I guess, if you're purchasing. Not a concept I can remotely fathom. I've experienced it myself. They tried to buy me out of this unit once so that they could, you know, gut it and renovate it and charge double the rent, which I know is what happened in the apartment directly below me. No, thank you. Hard pass.
Yeah. Okay. So, new suspect entering the podcast, capitalism.
Capitalism.
Is capitalism.
I mean, ultimately, capitalism is always the villain.
Yeah.
Always the one involved.
Is capitalism. We got there, Zed. It only took us 20 minutes, but we got there. Is it possible that someone who has a financial stake or a financial investment in the modernization of the Arconia, maybe Nina, maybe someone else, maybe one of the other board members, but they saw Bunny as the financial impediment toward their success and needed to off Bunny?
Yeah, I could see it. I could very much see it. The use of that word monetization is really specific, right? Modernization makes a lot of sense. If you're like passing this legacy on to a new generation, Nina is obviously much younger than Bunny. But monetization is a whole other thing. And the people who live on the Upper West Side tend to have money, tend to come from money, but in my experience, tend to also guard that money all the more jealously than people who may not be as wealthy or fortunate.
Well, that's why you need a board. That's why you have these systems and you figure things out. Monetization could be the suspect. Now, we should maybe take this opportunity to talk about my prime suspect on the last podcast. I think I called out Howard as my prime suspect. I'm going to say I'm still neutral. I'm going to say I don't think his status went up or his status went down, but we had a lot of wonderful Howard moments in this episode. Taking the minutes of the podcast or of the board meeting, the overemphasis on the decorations, it made me smile so much.
You're done.
I noted when they posted the minutes as evidence up on their cork board, I paused and I read through the minutes that Howard wrote with non-cursive. Howard is a print man, and his notes said, as starting information, discussing the alluring decor, which is giving campy retirement.
Jesus. Uh-huh. Were they discussing it, or did he just write that down?
He definitely just wrote it down in much the same way that he wrote down that Bunny was wearing a fuchsia number in the previous meeting.
Yeah.
But that was a delightful moment. The entire board meeting, even Mrs. Gambolini got to be there, got moved into the central area. We got to see a little bit of the dynamic of Bunny. Bunny has second thoughts. She decides she's not going to live in the heat. She can't do Boca. She's going to stay here. She's going to continue to be the board president. Nina doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I think she's encountered when she was at the diner, right? Oliver was like, Bunny will never leave. She'd never go to Florida. Me and Bunny, we're going to die and be buried in the Arconia. And Uma doesn't want her to leave. I've been to Boca. That's where my grandma moved when she left the Bronx at 75. She moved down to Delray Beach, which is right near Boca Raton. Like a classic New Yorker.
It's a classic New York pastime, right?
Yeah.
You go as long as you possibly can, and then you move to a retirement facility down in Florida. What do you think of that life? Is that the life, the future you're looking forward to, Zed?
No.
No, not so much?
No.
You want to stay?
I remember going down to Florida as a kid, and I did not believe that anyone under the age of 55 lived there.
But no, here's my thing. Like, you're going to live past 55. You're, let's say, you know, get to a nice, like, comfortable, I don't know, 67, something like that. New York winters don't seem so great anymore. Everything's changing around you. Can you see?
It's called climate change, Troy.
Oh, that is true. That is true. This is the thing. You don't have to go to Florida. Florida will just come to you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's probably the case.
Oh, man. Even
sorry,
even
this podcast is supposed to be all fun and light and a good time.
Climate change and murder. That's what you're here for. Okay. Well, one of the things that makes this podcast fun is crackpot theories. One of our crazy theories that we discussed was birder, aka bird murder. So I think this is a good time to just like take a pause here and think. Are the odds of bird murder higher or lower after this episode than before this episode?
I say lower. I don't know who that body was that dragged.
Didn't look like a bird. It'd be a big bird. Could it be
had
a big bird?
Had big Street? Feet and was wearing pants.
And work boots.
Yeah, seemed to be a human.
Seem to be human. I think I agree with you. Seem to be human. I don't think we got much more.
Nope, that's about all we got. But
unless it was
human.
An accomplice, unless it was, you know, they were holding Bunny while Mrs. Gambolini was coming in beak, 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 beak. But I think there'd be a lot more squawking and a lot more. I think we even saw Mrs. Gambolini.
Yeah, and the murder didn't look like she'd been savaged by a bird.
No, I guess we can close the door on that.
It's an entertaining theory.
It lived a good life. Not quite as long as Mrs. Gambolini herself, but it lived a good life. I think we do. I'll let Josh know before he gets back that I think we're going to have to close the door on bird murder as a possibility.
Uh-huh.
I think just to kind of go down the list of some of the other suspects that we've had, I don't think we've done anything to increase or decrease Amy Schumer's profile as a possible suspect. She's clearly been in the building at this point. She was renovating from what was it? Z Gallery 1997. So she did have access to the building. So it, at least opportunity is there. But we got nothing.
I am
more
trying to figure out the timeline of when Sting moved out and when the murder happened and when Amy Schumer moved in.
This is a good point because we saw the episode. Let's see here. We saw Oliver talk to Amy Schumer very shortly after she moved in or as she's moving in, right? They're still moving Sting's ring sticks out of the apartment.
Yes.
Out of the penthouse. And yet we also know that they were discussing Amy Schumer renovating the apartment in the last board meeting. Or maybe it was that her plans were to renovate the penthouse. And that was the idea. Yeah, the timeline's a little bit wonky here, but I guess I'm willing to go with it. It does not rule out Amy Schumer. I think that's the really big takeaway. And I still think the idea of put me on the show and make me the murderer is still a very high one. I think if I can go back to Howard for a second, I know I keep talking about Howard, right?
Yeah, talk to me about Howard. I don't know if he has it in him.
I don't know that he does. Anyone who's in a barbershop quartet, probably less likely of murder, especially
yodel
if it's a
yodel shop.
Yes. Sorry. Let me clarify, a yodel shop quartet. But he does seem, I'll put it this way. Nina was clearly Bunny's selected successor. And I wonder if someone like Howard, who's been on the board and doesn't get selected as the hand appointed successor, has a grudge and wants to take it out on Bunny.
But if what you want is to be the new president of the board, you don't take out the person who's retiring, you take out the successor.
Oh, well, that's a whole different show that's way less fun. But yeah, that's true.
I'm just walking down your line of logic here.
No, it's true. It's true. I think if watching, a few series, a few seasons of Game of Thrones tells me anything, it's that you got to take out the person who is on deck to take over the power, especially when the power is about to be taken down. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So, maybe Howard doesn't have it in him, but he still has the unexplained black eye in the first couple of episodes. And that I'm very curious to find out more about.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that. And it is very prominent in the board meeting. And I don't... Have we seen him outside of the board meeting in this season?
We saw him after Bunny's death. At one point, there was a conversation. I want to say it was... Oh, gosh. Now you're going to catch me not remembering. It might have been at Charles Hayden's door where they invite him to the wake for Bunny, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's when he has the black eye. He doesn't have it at the board meeting yet. And so there's some period of time between the board meeting and her wake that he gets a black eye.
Interesting.
And I want to know. I've got questions. That's why we podcast.
Yeah. That is, there's no way that goes unexplained.
No, I think it could be a nothing burger, but I want to see the nothing burger. I want to eat the nothing burger. I want to enjoy it as best that I possibly can.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, I think this is a good time to throw out another theory. And I'm going to warn you that I am so all in on this theory that I consider it a spoiler.
Okay.
Now this is an audio medium, and so our listeners can't see that Zed has put their face on their hand and is waiting with anticipation and I think a fair amount of skepticism at this point, as you, the listeners, may also have. Here's what I'm going to propose. There was a small throwaway line in this episode, and it was about the elevator inspector. Bunny had to sign off on an elevator inspection notice.
Yes, very good.
An invoice. And later in the episode, the elevator stops working ever so briefly. And I had a moment where my heart fluttered and I thought, oh, are we going to get a stuck in an elevator episode? It was very brief. It really just showed that Bunny knew everything about this building and how to fix it. Mm-hmm. But let me walk you through this. An elevator inspector is required by law to inspect the elevators, every elevator in a building,
yep,
and deem it appropriate for usage. People in other states would know. Sometimes they even put the picture of the elevator inspector on the license. It's a big deal, okay? Bunny has an elevator in her condo that has to be inspected in order for it to be legally usable. So here's my question. Elevator inspector comes, inspects the two main elevators, which I will note have been important characters in this season already.
Sure.
And they also have to inspect the elevator in Bunny's apartment wherein they see the painting and want the painting.
Now, do you think this elevator inspector is the real deal or is somebody posing as an elevator inspector?
Someone who looks oddly like Cara Delevingne presenting.
That's not what I was implying.
I know it wasn't.
No one's going to believe she's an elevator inspector.
Why not? You could have a young and trendy elevator inspector who does that as a second job after being an international supermodel.
I ain't seen it in New York.
Okay, so who are you saying? What's the deal? Someone's posing as an elevator inspector?
I'm asking the question. I don't know. This is your theory that the elevator inspector could be. They have the means.
Mm-hmm.
What's the motive?
The motive in my conceptual world that I'm building here is that they have inspected in Bunny's apartment and have seen. This does require they know a lot about art. Let's be clear.
So now are we ghost
We're
face
back to
killering?
The painting.
Yeah.
Oh, two killers?
Well, two brains at least.
Okay, so you have the elevator inspector who has the knowledge and the opportunity. And then you have the Alice, but you have someone who is knowledgeable about the art world who puts the dots together and says, let's do this. Let's take out Bunny and let's take out the painting.
Then we can take out the painting, replace it with a forgery.
Because still do have this forgery.
Yeah, and we don't know when it got there.
Okay. So, okay, what about if it turns out that Alice made the forgery but didn't know that it was going to be used as a part of a crime? That'd be a nice, like, one or two episode spin.
I mean, my question then is why?
Why? Yes, these are all important questions, Zed. But, you know, the whys get figured out eventually. I don't know that
maybe she was into Brazos as a kid.
Yeah, we've not gotten back to Uncle Brazos, but we could. That could be interesting. I guess I am. You're hunting in on something that I should just admit. I do get big suspect vibes from Alice, and I'm trying to find really complicated ways to explain why it's her. But I'm all in on this elevator inspector theory. They dropped in that little hint. It's all about the elevators. Maybe it has nothing to do with Alice, but like it could be someone posing as the elevator inspector.
Yes.
And we learned from the Pickle Diner that Bunny had a visitor on the previous day.
Yes.
Who was not her friend.
No.
So could
and
that
would not be returning?
Could that be the person who wants the painting, who's also inspecting the elevator?
Perhaps. This is a possibility. We do effectively have Chekhov's elevator, right? Like, it got introduced at the beginning, and it's going to lead to something. It wasn't just a way for them to fail to put the painting back in the apartment.
No. I think we're going to come back to the elevator. It's either going to be incredibly important in the actual murder itself, or it's going to be incredibly important in real time, again, and in a useful way. Gosh. I felt like I was onto something, and this is, I think, going to be a recurring theme of this podcast. I feel like I'm onto something, and the more that we dig into it, the more unanswered questions there are. So maybe it's a rogue elevator inspector. I think, you know, I don't think it's Lester. I don't think it's the doorman. We saw the shadow of the person who was holding back Bunny. That didn't look like Lester.
No.
But it does beg the question of, like, if you're a building with a doorman, and someone comes in late at night and kills the president of the board, would your doorman not know who came in?
You would think so. That's like a big part of their job.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience living in buildings with doormen.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so we're just really kind of spitballing here on that one. But
I did work for a person who lived in a doorman building.
Mm-hmm.
And once they knew who I was, you say hi and you walk in. But any unfamiliar face, you certainly have to stop. You have to say who you're going to visit. They call up. They say so-and-so is here. And then you get the go-ahead to go in. Some buildings you got to sign a guest book. Other buildings you don't.
What do you think? What's been your experience with open flames and gatherings in the courtyard for buildings?
I have not had that.
Yeah. Yeah. This seems like a classic HOA building board type situation. It's also the time where we saw that Lester can be distracted with cake. So if you just bring a pastry of some type, you could probably get by Lester pretty quickly. Zed, you've done some D&D as well with me. You know, if you want to distract guards, it's usually not that hard.
True.
Okay. So we think elevator inspector on the list, but so far they are unnamed, unfaced. We don't know who they are.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea though. And that the elevator inspector turns out to be somebody we know. They got to know who the elevator inspector was, what their uniform looked like. Maybe was able to, the work boots too, really
the
leads
work
back
boots,
to that idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, who is living in the Arconia and wearing those boots regularly? I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like a pregnant person would be wearing those boots, especially when they're very thinking, like they're very focused on acupressure and things that will turn the fetus and who knows what else. So I feel like the fact that they showed us what we believe to be the killer, or at least the kidnapper,
right,
is I
someone
think
someone involved in the crime.
Yeah, it rules out a lot of people. But let me step back and just say, this episode overall, even though it changes a few things in terms of who the killer is, who the killer wouldn't be, a delightful ride. Just like a lovely little pocket episode from the perspective of Bunny. I thought it was a delightful choice to do it this way. We got an incredible performance that was a little bit less heavy on Martin Short and Steve Martin and Selena Gomez, which I think is nice. It gives us a break from kind of their shtick. And we got to see Bunny and her relationships. And I think, in a way, at least for myself, I kind of felt bad for her, especially at the end of the episode.
The Wall Street Journal posted an article, finally, some compassion for the cranky old neighbor, which feels like the perfect thing for the Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Do you flip over on the back and it says same circus, different clowns?
Probably.
Fire Dolan. I would love to get a bird just so that I could teach it to harp on all of the bad coaches and players that I have issues with.
Also on the list of most popular news, Natalie Portman's arms are the breakout star of Thor: Love and Thunder. Really excellent journalism.
Over wow.
The Wall Street Journal.
You heard it here first. 40 minutes into a Hulu binge show podcast, Natalie Portman's arms are the highlight of the new Thor: Love and Thunder. Not a sponsor of the podcast, but important information nonetheless.
Apparently.
Do you think Natalie Portman could have done this? I mean, let's just put Natalie Portman in the bucket of people we have not seen yet on the show.
Right. Cannot confirm. Innocent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically you, me, Josh Wiggler, we're all in that same bucket as well. Are you still pretty high on the people who have not been on the show yet as primary suspect?
Yeah, I mean, right? We didn't meet Jan until episode 4 or something of the previous season. It's very possible we have not seen our killer yet.
Yeah, this is true. I think then... this is the time where I do just ask you, as I would ask any guest or any of my co-hosts who are in Greece.
Any Josh Wiggler.
Who, Zed, at this very moment in time in the show, is your prime suspect?
Gosh, you've really, in the course of this, the last 15 minutes, turned me on to this elevator repairman idea. But I don't think it's
got
literal...
legs. As we've seen
them. Yeah. I don't think it is the person whose actual job is to be an elevator repair person or inspector, excuse me, elevator inspector.
I know you're giving your whole answer to my question, but let me interrupt. So the elevator inspector comes, gives an invoice, charges the Arconia, and then the elevator breaks. What's going on there?
Oh, listen, that happens in my building all the time, but I do not live in a building nearly as nice as the Arconia.
Well, maybe that is a piece of evidence, right? That it wasn't actually the elevator inspector, but someone representing that.
Right. They were like, yeah, here.
Seems good.
Yeah, I inspected.
It goes up, it goes down.
What more do you need?
Door's closed.
Yeah.
Here's an invoice. If you murdered someone pretending to be an elevator inspector, would you send an invoice after? I don't think I would.
No. But maybe they were... you know, you got to case the joint, right? You show up that day to do your little inspection, you know, quote unquote inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sticking something in the door of the secret elevator so that you can get into it later? Are you setting up the circumstances for your planned, like, is this a crime? Here's a question. Is this a crime of passion or was this a plotted murder?
Well, let's see here. We know that they knocked on Bunny's door and she answers it and then they kill her. Now, I think there's a possibility, we should leave open the chance, that this is through the perspective of Oliver and Charles and Mabel. And so they're filling in the details that they don't have. Right. Based on the pieces of paper, and that this isn't actually what really occurred.
Sure.
It's a possibility. But we do know that the person knocked on her door and knocked on her door incessantly. So if that's actually how this all went down, that feels a little premeditated to me.
Yes.
You go to place with the person.
I agree, which supports my idea then. That the person posing as the elevator inspector stopped by to do their inspection so that they had access to all the places they needed to be able to carry out their plan, and then came back later in order to do that. We also have to wonder, why did they put Bunny in Mabel's apartment specifically?
Yeah.
And use a knitting needle specifically, particularly if the knitting needle is not actually the murder weapon, but the implied murder weapon, when the police are saying that it was actually a knife that caused the murder.
Yeah, right. Are you going to murder someone? Are you going to thieve someone from their apartment, drag them 4 doors down to the other apartment, kill them there? Because that's where the bloodstains are. right, in Mabel's apartment and leave her there? That's very bizarre. Now,
who has a vendetta against Mabel?
Yes, exactly. This goes back to the theory of this person has a personal connection or some sort of vendetta for Mabel, Charles, Oliver, and specifically maybe for Mabel, right? I think that this puts a little bit more heat on someone like Alice, who is going to put Mabel in a vulnerable position by having a murder occur in her apartment. And then use this opportunity to swoop in and start a relationship. Now, that would certainly be something. Again, I don't love that the queer romance is starting with murder and a villain. So, you know, there's a bit of a trope there. But it at least would explain why Mabel's apartment.
As a way to get to Mabel?
I think so. Like, this could
that
be
seems
like
so extreme.
You know, you don't want to throw off the fans.
But why does Alice want to kill Bunny?
I think this is the point where we don't have enough information. That's what it is. We don't have enough information. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to keep watching the show.
Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
It's such a shame. It's such a shame. I wish I have to say, I was worried. I was worried anytime you podcast about a show with a mystery that you're going to crack the case early on. I think our early attempt at bird murder, while fun, really has proven not to be the case. I think this new elevator inspector could be a thing. But I have to say, yeah, okay, you've convinced me. I think that Alice does this in Mabel's apartment in order to get Mabel just doesn't make a lot of sense right now. So I think I'm going to go all in on person we haven't seen yet who is an elevator inspector or pretends to be an elevator inspector.
I think posing as elevator inspector.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay, that's my prime suspect. Howard, thank you for your service, but I'm moving on from you. I may come back to you. I did have a brief thought for Ivan, the waiter at the Pickle Diner. But again, like, Bunny's giving him money. So, like, why stop the gravy train?
Yeah. Seems to be one of the few people she's, like, truly friendly towards.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. That'd be a shame if that was the case. And yeah, I guess we didn't talk about this, but I'll just hit on, speaking of being friendly towards Bunny, there was a very, sad, memorable moment at the end of the episode, right before Bunny is killed, where it's quite clear that our protagonists are, what's the word? Crappy people? maybe not well attuned. I had a tough time with this. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I felt for Bunny in that moment. I know, you know, sometimes you reap what you sow when it comes to how you talk to people, but you have someone that they did a good job of making me feel for her. And
yeah,
convention would definitely tell you when someone gives you real champagne from France, you are obligated to invite them into your home, even if they're a vampire, invite them into your home and have a drink with them.
Uh-huh.
And for the three of them to be totally clueless, I mean, it's comedically fun, but there's just that moment where you're like, oh, these people, I don't like that.
Yeah. As they were about to shut the door, you could tell that she was, you know, offering an olive branch and wanting to come celebrate with them, not, here, I just thought I'd drop this off and leave.
And that's, of course, where we get the Bunny gets the sweatshirt, decides to roll with it, puts on the sweatshirt, and then wails alone in the
and
hallway.
Why don't they open the door?
That's what I'm saying, Zed. Shut the door. You're not thinking. And then they're standing there at the door, talking very loudly to where, like, those walls are not that thick. I was waiting for her to be like, I can still hear you.
Yeah, right. I'm right here.
But no, they just keep talking. They don't open the door. When they finally open the door, Bunny is gone. What's the solution at that point? Go up to the elevator. Go up the rooftop so she doesn't come back for us.
Go somewhere more private. Not your locked door apartment, but the roof.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, I will say, I think it was like a little bit of a despicable moment for them as characters, a little goofy, but it does, at very least, remove them from being implicated in Bunny's murder, other than the fact that maybe they could have prevented it if they'd only just been a little kind.
A little kind.
Well, that's all my crackpot theories. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to talk through in terms of this episode or your overall takes with Only Murders or the building itself.
The building itself. I mean, the building is such a character in the show.
Yeah. They've got the courtyard. We've got all the various apartments. We've now got three elevators to work with. There's incredible farce opportunities here.
So, it's wild that they just let Mabel go back to her apartment.
Talk to me about this.
Even if she's just a person of interest, that's a crime scene. Like, she just tears down the police tape off the door. Look,
I've been doing.
Everybody in the world knows I am no defender of cops. But don't you, like, put her up in a hotel somewhere until you're done with your investigation? She goes and cleans up the murder scene.
Okay, look, we talked about this a little bit in the Discord, in our thread for Only Murders in the Building. Come and hang out with us and talk through this. I have to assume, in the fictitious world of this Hulu binge show, that it is no longer considered a crime scene. At a certain point, the cops got what they needed. They got the body. They got the evidence. And all that was left behind was the blood. And something I've learned in researching, going down the deep rabbit holes that I am inclined to go down at times.
Oh, is that this is where that screenshot came from.
That's what I'm saying. I put a screenshot in the Discord about the cost of cleaning up and the ability for you to get reimbursed. This is a thing. Like, if a crime scene happens, like at your house or your business, the cops don't clean it up. You got to clean it up. Like, you got to hire someone to clean it up.
Literally, what do we pay these people for?
I don't know. But you do pay. There's literally crime scene cleaners. That is the whole industry. God. And there's, like, paperwork you can fill out to get reimbursed for it. So, like, if Mabel owned her apartment, she could get reimbursed for the cost of having another person come in and clean it up. It's not a cinematic, but it's doable. But that's the thing. They don't clean up after the crime scene. It's wild. It's wild. No rules here. There's just no rules.
Capitalism is so gross.
Isn't it, though? But it does give us good shows like Only Murders in the Building. And hey, if you want to, support post-show recaps, you can always become a patron of post-show recaps. It's now July. If Josh were here, he'd tell you it's a great time to become a supporter. It's not really capitalist as much as it is supporting art and supporting fun conversations like this. We do need the support in order to continue to do this. So if you feel so inclined, you can go to postshowrecaps.com/Patreon and become a patron and join us in the Discord where we talk about things like crime scene cleanup and answer important questions about elevators and elevator inspectors. I think the fact that they're allowed to return to the building and it's more or less business as usual is a little bit strange, but guess what? The plot demands it, Zed, and yeah, we're gonna do what the plot demands.
I suppose we are.
Well,
up
and down the elevator we go. Well, we're up to level 3, episode 3 of season 2 of Only Murders in the Building. We have not pinned down a single prime suspect yet, but we're starting to figure it out. Zed, this has been a very fun ride. I don't think the elevator really stopped at any point. We didn't really have to jiggle the wires, so we were never.
Have you ever been trapped in an elevator before? It's not a good time.
Have you been trapped in an elevator?
Yep. In my building.
Any good stories?
No, it's just you gotta text the super and hope somebody's gonna come get you.
Okay, I hinted at this in the first episode of our podcast, but I actually, one of my deep rabbit hole learning things I did at one point was learning about how people get rescued from being trapped in an elevator. And there's actually a specialized division of most fire departments that are confined space recovery experts.
Wow.
And they're the people who come. So like when they say like, oh, the fire department came, like, sure, it might be the local firefighters, but it's oftentimes, especially in like high risk or high rise situations, a confined space expertise team that's coming to save you.
Confined space expertise.
Yeah. How about that? So that's where I'm hopeful. You know, if we got another situation where the elevators stop, we could get a bottle episode in an elevator. You say it's not fun. I'm sure it's not, but
I'm sure the show could make it fun.
Yeah. It'll make for good TV.
Shenanigans happen when people get stuck in elevators on TV shows
all the time. Steve Martin, or I guess Charles Haden Savage, freaks out very quickly. Not the kind of person you want to be trapped in an elevator with.
Yeah.
But Zed, I will say, you are the kind of person I would want to get trapped in an elevator with. We would pass the time just fine.
Yeah. And I'm small.
We'd probably... that's really the reason. It's really your form. It's really your height that really sets it.
The form, not the content.
Yeah, exactly. Zed, if people want to hear more from you or see more of you, where can they find you?
Oh, all the usual places. You can find me at Hard Rock Hope, anywhere I exist on the internet, including Twitter. Twitch.tv/HardRockHope has been... A little dead lately, as I've sounded like this for the last 5 days or worse. But hopefully I will be back soon playing more Final Fantasy games and other things. And I am talking about Final Fantasy every week with our buddy Adam on the Final Fantasy podcast, where he is playing Final Fantasy VII for the first time. The teacher has become the master. Look at this. I'm covering
you
for Josh on a podcast.
Nina Lynn.
I am taking over for Josh on Final Fantasy VII. I'm going to run this man out of a job.
That's incredible.
I could never. I could
over
never.
His hot, warm body.
Oh, stop.
Oh gosh, they're not gonna edit this one.
No,
out.
They're not.
It's gonna
but
be
those
great.
Are the places you can find me. And I recorded an episode of Crime Scene recently, which I think is dropping next week. So keep an eye out for that in the Crime Scene feed or the Wrap Ups feed over on RHAP. And that's it these days. Oh, YA is still happening. I'm still talking about Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
It's July.
Still happening?
It's July. We started talking about Harry Potter in January. It is the never ending story. And you can catch that in the patron feed at any level. You get access.
Story.
Yeah. You get access to me and Kevin and Melissa talking about Harry Potter forever.
Amazing. Well, I am so thankful for you being here. If you couldn't tell, Zed is a trooper. Working through a little bit of sickness, but they wanted to be here with me to talk through Only Murders in the Building. If you want to talk through with us, with our next guest next week, and then ultimately also with Josh Wiggler, you can find us on @PostShowRecaps on Twitter, postshowrecaps.com. If you want to join the Patreon, as I've said, it's postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. And you can also join us here next week, wherein I invite another guest into the building whom I'm pretty sure is not capable of murder also, but again, you never know until you talk to them. It's going to be Grace Leader. Grace is going to join us on the podcast and is going to talk
only
through
Canadians in the building.
Only Canadians, well, except for me, I'm not Canadian, but only Canadian guests in the building, I guess. We're going international, baby. We're pulling in Grace. Grace is a big brain thinker as well. So we're going to dissect where we are with elevator inspector theory, with bird murder theory, with the Alice pretending to be someone else theory. There's a lot of things that we can undo and talk through Amy Schumer as well. And whatever else, episode 4 of season 2 of Only Murders in the Building brings us. So join us next week. Grace will be here. Josh will be back in 2 weeks. But you can also, you know, you can hit him up on Twitter if you want, at Round Howard. He probably won't respond anytime soon because he's having...
He shouldn't. He's on a vacation.
A lovely vacation. But come back and join us. Zed, anything else you want to share for the good of the podcast? Any last thoughts with the murders that are happening in the building?
I don't think so. Just keep an eye out for work boots in your vicinity.
And if you keep an eye out for this next podcast, we will see you here on Post-Show Recaps. That's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.